The programme with breaking news this hour. The US has flown its bombers off North Korea's east coast. The aircraft remained in international airspace. But in a statement, the Pentagon said it's, quote, the farthest north of the demilitarized zone any US fighter or bomber aircraft have flown off North Korea's coast in the 21st century. This mission is said to demonstrate US resolve and sends, quote, a clear message that the president has many military options to defeat any threat. Meanwhile, North Korean's foreign minister has slammed the US president and his policies towards North Korea from the podium at the UN.
I feel forced to make comments on the speech uttered 4 days ago by someone called the US president that rendered this sacred UN arena tainted. Since Trump uttered such reckless and violent words provoking the supreme dignity of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea at this very platform, during his 8 months in power, he has turned the White House into a noisy marketing place full of crackling sounds of abacuses. And now he has tried to turn the UN arena into a gangster's nest where money is respected and bloodshed is the order of the day.
The North Korean foreign minister was apparently referring to Donald Trump's speech made from the same podium 4 days ago.
No nation on earth has an interest in seeing this band of criminals arm itself with nuclear weapons and missiles. The United States has great strength and patience. But if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
Well, to discuss this further now, I'm joined live by geopolitical analyst Patrick Hanningson. Patrick, welcome to the program to talk about this. Now, in your opinion, what message do you think Washington is sending with this bomber deployment?
This is a message of aggression. It's a message of war. It's certainly the message that Trump's base, some of them anyway, want to hear. It's the message that the military-industrial complex in the United States, all the defense contractors, they want to hear this. It's John McCain's message. It's James Mattis's message. This is, you know, the message of the neoconservative war hawks. So that's basically who he's talking to. In terms of diplomacy, it's completely counterproductive. In terms of China relations, it's very poor form. And also in terms of military strategy, it's worthless. It's nothing. In fact, you know, the other thing is Obama would have done the same thing. In fact, Obama did exactly the same thing in September 2016. He flew a B-1 bomber over South Korea, not very far at all technically from where this was flown today. Of course, that didn't get any media coverage at the time, but that's a separate conversation. But this is just basic U.S. Behavior, a government that's dominated by the Pentagon, by the defense industry, by these interests.
Patrick, you've listed quite a few negatives, and we can't ignore, can we? I mean, it's all over the media that the high tensions between the two countries at the moment. How sensible is it that they've taken this decision?
The problem is that, you know, the U.S. is the problem in this. You know, South Korea and North Korea have tried at different times to initiate some kind of a meaningful peace process. And almost at every turn, you know, the United States will intervene in one way or another to try to break up that sort of bilateral negotiations between the North and the South. The United States has a demilitarized zone between the North and South Korea with 30,000 troops and military contractors and civilian
Secretary
personnel
General.
Based there. They have a base in Okinawa. They have a base in Japan. They have a base in Guam. They have a base in the Philippines, or a few bases in the Philippines. So, you know, from a Korean point of view, the problem is the United States. I'm sure that North and South Korea could eventually work this out to have a peace treaty, but that's not what's happening now. The United States is intervening for one simple fact, because the whole Pacific Rim agenda is predicated on poor relations with North Korea and war footing. Otherwise, the U.S. would have no business in the Pacific, and the only reason they're there is to counter China. So North Korea is just theater. This is a staged, managed geopolitical theater, and it's very dangerous what the United States is doing right now, what this president is doing right now, and pushing the envelope in a very negative way.
Patrick, you've mentioned that it's very dangerous. What are your predictions as to how Pyongyang might react to a provocation like this?
Well, you know, if you listen to the words of Donald Trump at the UN General Assembly, wouldn't you want a nuclear deterrent as well? He's threatening to destroy a country. There's 25 million people that live there, and it's an idiotic statement by the United States president for this simple reason. If you nuked North Korea, you would also create huge nuclear contamination that would kill so many people in the South. It would make huge areas uninhabitable and parts of China. It's not going to happen. Everyone knows the United States is not going to nuke North Korea. What you have here is an exact identical replay of the United States relations with Cuba. The United States government, through its policies, through its ridiculous policies and rhetoric and threatening and sanctions and embargoes, kept Fidel Castro in power for 70-odd years. Okay, they're doing exactly the same thing. This is like a replay of Cuba here. The United States made Fidel Castro who he was, made the conditions that kept him in power. The U.S. government is doing the exact same thing here with North Korea. It's like a replay of history. So this doesn't make any sense on so many levels, but this is sort of business as usual for Washington. And unfortunately, history will not sort of be on the side of the U.S. in this, because at some point it has to end. They've been there 70 years. They've carved out a strip between North and South Korea, which is a basic giant dollar sink for U.S. dollars for the military-industrial complex. There's no reason for the United States to be there. And frankly, there's no reason for the North and South Korea to be pointing guns at each other. The only reason they are is because of the United States.
Patrick, what's interesting, that you know, other players are involved, obviously trying to appease the situation. Russia's foreign minister described the latest exchange of threats as follows. We're just going to have a quick listen now.
You can't have madmen out there shooting rockets all over the place. Rocket Man should have been handled a long time ago.
China and Russia will continue to insist on a more reasonable approach, in contrast to the emotional one we see now, where they behave like children fighting each other in kindergarten and nobody can stop them.
So we heard Trump there and Lavrov. Now, how, in your opinion, would you assess the behavior of both the leaders?
Well, North Korea is North Korea. It's a theatrical, bordering on comical most of the time. But you have to look at the conditions that have created this so-called regime or this system and this government in North Korea. And you have to go right back to the Korean War itself. This was an imperialist project by the United States. It was brutal. It was vicious. And what did they do? They moved into the Far East permanently on military footing after that. And so what they've done is risking the destabilization of the Korean Peninsula. It's unlikely that the United States would deploy nuclear weapons in this case. But so you have a president that's desperate for ratings, and you have the U.S. media that's desperate for ratings, CNN, Fox. They need a war because, frankly, ratings are tanking. They tried to push a fake narrative for Syria for 7 years, and they failed miserably, completely. And everyone's got their tail between their legs right now in Washington and at the CNN newsroom and everybody else who's been pushing the lies and fictions of Syria for the last 7 years. And now they're looking at this, and this is brilliant. They love a good crisis. But the problem is the U.S. should recuse itself and start making plans to withdraw from the DMZ because they've been there almost 70 years. And so, and then you have Trump's generals. Okay, so what are these people? What are they other than glorified sales reps for the defense industry? Look at their CVs. Afghanistan, that was successful. Iraq, oh, that was a great success. Syria, fantastic job by the generals. And these are the people running U.S. foreign policy right now. The only one that had the guts to stand up as a real patriot was General James Cartwright, and he was thrown in jail by Barack Obama. And none of these generals stood up for General James Cartwright for being a whistleblower, blowing the whistle on Israel's Stuxnet program. Okay, so this is the culture of corruption that we have in Washington, and this is where it leads to, is what you're seeing right now from the UN General Assembly And what you're seeing, these comments from the White House, and then the back and forth between Pyongyang and Washington, two comic book regimes right now, having it out in a big theater, and it's all about money at the end of the day. This is about a defense budget that has been increased 20% to $700 billion. 20% from 700 billion. That's more than the increase of $100 billion is more than the entire Russian annual defense budget, okay? So this is what it's about. This is what it's always been about, and it's what it will always be about.
Okay, Patrick, we're going to have to leave it there for now. But, yeah, and watch how those tensions escalate even further. Hopefully not. Geopolitical analyst Patrick Hanningson there. Thanks for coming onto the show.